This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Prime Minister's post-budget webinar on economic empowerment of women. The participants are Shankar Iyer, political economic analyst and author, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, AIR correspondent.
The Honourable Prime Minister, Shri Narendra Modi, today addressed a post-budget webinar on the subject of economic empowerment of women. It is the 11th of a series of 12 post-budget webinars organised by the government to seek ideas and suggestions for effectively implementing the initiatives announced in the Union Budget 2023. On this, we are joined by Shri Shankar Iyer for this programme. A warm welcome on the programme, sir.
Thank you very much.
My first question to you, post the Union Budget 2023, are what are the main provisions in this year's budget for the economic empowerment of women?
So one has to look at this in a linear fashion. Over the past few years, the government has made efforts to provide the ecosystem for women to sort of thrive. And the three aspects that I see in this budget is there is increased spending on safety for women in urban spaces and in other spaces under the Nirbhaya program. There is emphasis on shelter, which means that in the Prime Minister's Awas Yojana, the registrations have to happen in the name of the woman of the house, which is a great idea and should be expanded further. The third idea that the budget focuses on is on sustainability, which is basically to skill women so that they are able to earn a living, they are able to empower themselves, they are able to educate themselves, they are able to sustain their families. And so in all this, the role of the Bharat DBT should also be highlighted, because we have this excellent system for direct benefit transfers. Some of this activity has been accelerated, expanded, and tweaked as we go on. So I think if you put a headline to it, the Union Budget presented by Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has created the impulses for women to feel safer, for women to find shelter, for women to skill and empower their livelihoods.
So this year's budget is also being termed the gender budget. The Prime Minister highlighted the transformation in the cooperative sector and the role of women in the cooperative sector. Do tell us briefly about the main transforming schemes and the landmark decisions of this government in this sector.
So one has to look at this holistically. We all know that agriculture in India is sustained by women on the fields, and nearly a third or more of the cooperative sector work actually is handled by women. So what does the cooperative sector do? It enables the woman or women across the country to participate in the economic development of their own families and thereby enable the economic development of the nation. And what I find most interesting is the focus on funding for agricultural programs, for the new scheme which looks at skilling. There is a focus on the Northeast. So all of this actually come together. I mean, there are many moving parts in the budget. And I would stress that one has to look at the overall impact of these moving parts rather than just one or two of these schemes. One has to assess how they play out. These are all great steps forward, and I think more needs to be done.
The empowering aspect of Prime Minister Awas Yojana in a scenario where traditionally women had no property to their name is being called a game changer. What impact are these changes bringing?
So if you look at it, there is a theme here. When this government came to power, they expanded the sanitation program. So Swachh Bharat enabled women the safety and the security of doing the natural processes of life within their own compound. So Swachh Bharat created that. Then you had the Ujjwala scheme, which brought home to the kitchen of the woman a smoke-free atmosphere. And the provision of Ujjwala to the poorest households has opened the idea, the choice that is available to women. And once they have experienced this choice, there is a natural peer pressure for the families to adopt those systems. And what the Prime Minister's Awas Yojana does is it gives them an equal footing as far as the family household unit is concerned, because now they are stakeholders. And that is a big jump, a big leap forward in a society where we often heard phrases that beti to parai hoti hai and all those things. And now this is sort of very progressive move to create the impulse for women to hold property titles in their name. And what is also interesting and significant is that the expansion of the allocations for this scheme, and the Housing and Poverty Alleviation Minister insisted that, you know, property has to be listed in the name of the woman. And there is going to be need for auditing of this. And I do hope that this push is taken further.
So 70% Mudra loan beneficiaries are women. How do you see the government initiatives which help the women entrepreneurs? How has it worked as a catalyst for making financial decisions of households?
I think you and I have noticed that a large number of what we call laghu udyog or micro and small enterprises are essentially family businesses, and the family participates in the small towns and in the rural areas. Even a small shop is run both by the husband and the wife. And so this is a progression from that, where the woman is allowed to set up her own business. So there's a huge opportunity here at the very base level, non-technology level, which is using the new fashions, the new weaving techniques, the new dyeing techniques. Textile is one of our most competitive areas for India. Then you have the handicrafts area, the khadi area. And then you take this further to the field of technology, the startups. I think there is a need for the private equity firms to sort of be inspired by what the government is trying to do through Mudra and make available, actually actively engage with women who have startup ideas in small towns. We tend to think that startups are all about major technology, fintech and stuff. But startups is actually a business that is located on a technology platform. So when you look at the idea of Mudra, when you combine it with the open network for digital commerce that the government is promoting, when you look at it through the payment systems that UPI and NPCI have created, it is a big opportunity for women. And these kind of initiatives actually improve the ability of the woman or the women in India to take their own entrepreneurial skills to the market. And this is going to be a big change. You know, there is an old proverb that half the sky is held up by women. And I think we are moving towards that. A lot more push is required. And this should go beyond Mudra. I think that women are capable of setting up businesses and running it better than men. And that should be the focus.
So what are the education benefits of studying STEM, that is science, technology, engineering and mathematics subjects for girls? How do you see the high participation of girls in STEM subjects?
So first thing you have to recognize, and we must all recognize, that there are today more girl children in colleges than there are boys. The dropout rate of boys is somewhat improved, but we find many more girl students in the schools. The All India Survey on Higher Education shows that figure is that the enrollment of the girl child is much higher. Now, once they are into this, one must recognize how they have moved away from the traditional view that women study liberal arts or sociology, they do B.Ed. for teaching and stuff. And they have now begun to be adaptive in technology. And we saw this ability of women to deliver in the Mars mission. We've had a movie made on it. So the idea that women would excel in STEM should not be alien to us, because one of the few people in the Nobel laureate scheme is Madame Curie, who has got 2 Nobel Prizes. So women are capable, and there is a big role of families also in this. So traditionally, we would see there is a lot of encouragement in Indian families for the girl child to go into medicine or into commerce so that she can join a bank or other things. Now they are learning technology, engineering, math, and it is at a scale that is better than in the G7 countries. So there is a big change opening up. And a lot of this, we must recognize, is happening because of the work that has been done in the maternal mortality and child mortality area, where in the family size management area, India has now got a fertility rate which is almost equal. So when a smaller family is more prosperous, the evolution of the thought process is different and is more progressive, and that is what we are witnessing today.
The Honorable Prime Minister informed about the budget announcement for the support to the self-help groups for creating new unicorns among self-help groups. He said more than 7 crore women have joined self-help groups in the last 9 years. How are these self-help groups bringing changes in the lives of women?
So if you align all the pieces that we just spoke about, the skilling of women, the education of the women, the higher enrollment, their participation in traditional crafts and handicrafts, and then you create the financing mechanism. So self-help groups actually provide both finance and counseling. There is one more piece that I wanted to add to this. The government has been actively thinking about this. So once we have these self-help groups, the mudra financing, the Nari Shakti, safety, shelter, sustainability, we also, you know, economic empowerment should precede political empowerment, and which is what we see happening now. And I think it is probably a good idea, and this has been thought about in the government for some time now, it is being considered, is to create a niche for women to join into government.
So stressing the need for skill development, as you mentioned earlier as well, the Honorable Prime Minister said the opportunities of the Vishwakarma scheme, which was brought in this budget, needs to be leveraged for women empowerment. You also talked about expanding women's business opportunities in the GEM and e-commerce and need to prioritize new technologies in the training given to the self-help groups. How do you see this?
So under the government procurement, which is the GEM scheme, there are already a large number of women participants who are registered. In fact, if I recall correctly, the Prime Minister's vacuum flask, the hot water bottle flask that he has in his office, were supplied by a woman in Tamil Nadu. So there is already a participation. So when you arrange the GM program, when you align it with the Vishwakarma program, which is creative thinking, creative products, adaptive products for the Indian conditions, and you align them, there is a huge potential here for not only for individual development, for the household income, but also for national growth.
What are the improvements in the employment figures for skilled women?
Well, it needs to be much better. It is getting better. I hold 2 states in India as examples where women's participation is at a higher level across. And I don't want to restrict it to only skilled jobs. So every job requires a skill. So you look at Himachal Pradesh, the women's participation in governance in other programs is high. The community development issues is high. Himachal Pradesh has been applauded by the World Bank for their work. Similarly, in Tamil Nadu, 42% of the workforce is women in the manufacturing sector. So as we approach towards the Atmanirbhar India manufacturing program, as we approach to the China Plus One program of wooing investment into India, the role of women in the front lines of manufacturing and services will grow, will expand. And there needs to be more legislative and regulatory changes for that to be helped in terms of what are the timings, what kind of facilities they get, what kind of childcare facilities are available on premises. These are things that need to be thought through. And I'm very hopeful that the new CEO at Niti Aayog, BVR Subramaniam, may have some thoughts on it and will come up with some of these changes that are needed. Most of it, the regulatory and legislative changes, are actually required at the level of the state governments.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Shankar Iyer, for being with us on All India Radio and addressing the Prime Minister's address on a post-budget webinar on the subject of economic empowerment of women. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on Prime Minister's post-budget webinar on economic empowerment of women. The participants were Shankar Iyer, political economic analyst and author, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, AIR correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.